because it was not even a working document. Somebody drafted this document in order to bring it to an internal discussion, and according to the Minister of Defense, it wasn't even discussed internally, let alone adopted and implemented.
Could there not be another explanation, which was that given that it said that the daily humanitarian needs of people in the Gaza Strip demanded that there be 106 trucks a day go in, this was the minimum that they required to avoid malnutrition, that actually during that period when the blockade was at its height, only about 60 or so trucks went in, that is the source of the embarrassment, and that is why the Israeli government was keen for this not to come out.
No, I don't think so. The conclusion of this document about the number of truckloads needed was never actually discussed. We don't know if it was a valid conclusion or not, at least in the eyes of those who were supposed to discuss it. Now, the number of truckloads in the end reflects not just the restrictions that may have been imposed by Israel, but also the demand from Gaza. Today, for example, there's no quota on imports into Gaza, but there are practical limits to the number of truckloads that can come through during one day, and these quantities are not filled because there's not enough demand.
Does the Israeli government now look back on those few years when the blockade was particularly tight? Of course, it hasn't been lifted altogether in terms of the free movement of people, but in terms of the food blockade, does the Israeli government now look back on that as an embarrassment and a failure?
Well, that's a question many Israelis are asking today, but I have to say that we don't have any definitive answer to that. Yes, you're absolutely right to point out that Hamas was not taken down by the people of Gaza, was not replaced by the PA, by representatives of the Palestinian government. Hamas remains in place today, as strong as it was then. And in this respect, yes, it was a failure. On the other hand, Hamas was pushed into accepting a deal to swap Gilad Shalit for a certain number of prisoners, which was sensibly lower than the one they initially demanded. And maybe the blockade had something to do with that. Maybe the fact that Hamas today tries to adopt somewhat more pragmatic behavior with respect to the rocket shooters is also due to the fact that the blockade had influenced the opinions of the people in Gaza.
I asked also whether it was an embarrassment because there were also some utterly arbitrary points to this blockade. Cinnamon was allowed in, but coriander wasn't. What was the rationale behind decisions like that?
Yes, I remember the coriander question, and indeed I have no answer to that because we never understood why the Minister of Defense actually forbade coriander to enter Gaza. That certainly had no influence on anyone whatsoever, but it did reflect some kind of petty interference with items that seemed of little note. That they picked on coriander may have reflected an attitude that was not exactly rational when it came to actually making the catalogue of allowed items. Yes.
There was also the bigger point that the United Nations has said consistently that the blockade is collective punishment.
That was an excessively unfair judgment of the situation because when Gaza was taken over by Hamas, it became a secessionist territory under one single government, which was at a declared state of war with Israel. In such a situation, you can't speak about collective punishment. It's not like we had a control over the civilian population and punished all of the population for the deeds or misdeeds of a few.